Gun track stunt color. Yeah, you know that's us. Where we only speak the real and the real rock with us. Where we motivate the people and politic on success. Oh no, we ain't DJ Khaled, but they swearin' we the best. Gun track uncle. Gun track uncle. Gun track uncle.
What's happening? It's Contrast Uncut. It's season 4, episode 29. Man, big shout outs to Uncle Snoop's Army and Bobby D Presents. I appreciate you, brothers. It's your host, Zylo, aka DJ Juan Dollars, like I won some money. Gentlemen, today we have an incredibly, incredibly dope special guest. You know, he's from the island on the other side of the Atlantic, you know, across the pond. From a large town northwest of London, Milton Keynes to be exact. He's a professional mixed martial artist at Bellator in the heavyweight division. You know, he is a big, big humanitarian and ambassador for the fight for autism. Having nobody else to beat on his amateur level, they didn't even want to have anyone to fight him. So this brother elevated each time he got on the hexagon and put in a nice punch in the face, because that's one thing he does. He swarms and punches, and boy, I feel bad for everyone that has to feel him. With 12 plus years in the game that spans from Cage Warrior and winning the light heavyweight championship to joining and leading mixed martial arts organization Bellator, where he is actively keeping his name relevant in his division. He has 28 professional fights with 19 wins, 18 losses, and one no contest with a TKO.
No, 18 losses.
Okay, man. I got to go.
19 and 8.
I got you. His brother had a TKO with a swarm of punches in his last bout in November of last year. And if you don't know who I have on the show by now, it's all good. We got Linton the Swarm Vassell on the show, everybody.
What's good? How's it going, man?
Bless, man. I appreciate you, brother. You know, time's the most finite thing we have on this earth, so I gotta let you know from the beginning, I appreciate your time for fucking with me and fucking with the viewers and the listeners.
Anytime, man. Always got time. Always got time for you guys.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Speaking of time, Linton, brother, what's a normal 24 hours for you?
Especially work day. Wake up 7:30, 8 o'clock a.m. Usual getting ready for training. Start training at 10 at Sanford MMA. If it's a Monday morning, we do MMA training. So it'll be a bit of wrestling, a bit of jiu-jitsu, kickboxing. I mean, add it all together. And then I'll go and get some treatment, go to cryotherapy, maybe chiropractor, depending on what, you know, kind of thing I need done. Because, you know, we take them bumps and bruises every day, man. It's time to go look after ourselves. That's the first part of the day. And then the evening, we usually have kickboxing drills with our coach, Henry Hooft. And that's just a Monday. That's just our typical Monday. Get back for like 8:30, 9 o'clock. Maybe jump in the cold tub again for more recovery. Head home, get some food, you know, and rest up. Go to bed and do the same again for the next day.
You know, what's amazing I've learned about professional sports is the biggest investment they purchase is their body. They constantly invest in their body because that is, you know, that's the money maker. That's what's doing it all. And it's important that you take the acknowledgement into that, because a lot of people think that thing's just something you could just let go. And there's no part of letting go of your body in any professional sport.
And I'm saying that because obviously growing up when I first started, I didn't really know about doing that. So, and I was younger, I was 23 when I started. So I would go training, not stretch before, not stretch after, train, go home, eat crap, you know, not watch my diet. And as the years got on, obviously the weight cut, you know, you have to start watching your weight cut and your diet. And then you realize, you know what, I need to start looking after my body, man. You know, and start getting massages, start getting that therapy, acupuncture, all that kind of stuff. And it's not until, I'd probably say I moved here 5 years ago over in Florida, I realized how important it really, really is. So I'd gone from not doing it to maybe doing it when I was hurt, to doing it maybe twice or three times a week to now pretty much doing it every day, doing something. Yeah, doing something every day. Whether it be in the sauna, whether it be in a hot tub, cold tub, massage, foot massage, back rub, something. I always get something done.
I feel like you're telling your younger self, man, I wish I would have told you 12 years ago that you should just invest in recovery right then and there, because I would feel a lot better today.
Yeah, if I was hurt, I'd sit at home, take painkillers or whatever. You know, if my back was hurting, just rest up and then go back to work, or just train with my back hurting. You know, I didn't really know of the things to do at that time, you know, but you live and you learn. You live and learn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got a quote, brother. Let me know how this quote relates to you, or if it doesn't, yeah. Idea Linton, I want you to talk about it. Are you ready?
Yeah. Go. Let's go.
Adversity is something that makes reaching your goals so much more rewarding than if it didn't exist. Lennox Lewis.
Yeah, definitely. You have to go through them troubled times. If you don't, you're not going to realize, you know. Go have those times where you don't want to continue, you know. Life's hard, and it's what you do after. You can either let it consume you and, you know what I mean, sit at home moping around, or you can, you know, come back and, you know what I mean, if you've lost, you know what I mean, come back like he did. He lost against Rackman. You know what I mean? That was the biggest, you know, loss of his career, would I say. And he came back and then backed him up quick.
Come on.
You know? Yeah, I wouldn't say he took him lightly, but I feel like if you've got a lesser opponent, I'm not saying he's a lesser opponent, but I feel like Rackman was there for him to beat up, if you know what I'm saying, at that point of time. And he came back and he showed people what's good.
Oh, yeah. No, you got a good history of that yourself.
Yeah, I've been there. I've won, I've lost. And I spoke about this yesterday, actually. I actually did think of, you know, it's time to hang up the gloves. I'd lost three in a row. I'd never done that ever. I'd lost one fight and I'd always come back and then gone back on a winning streak. And I'd lost three in a row. I was like, man, this is probably it now for me, you know. At the time, I was 36, and I was like, "Damn, I think I've done my best. I think that's it." And my coach was like, "Hey, don't be a pussy, old man. Fix yourself up. You know, went back to the drawing board, fixed a few things, and then came back November 19, 2019. You know, and put on a performance in Israel. Yes.
Come on, laser punches, the swarm.
Hey, I'm talking about.
Yes. Speaking about MMA and fighting, did the game choose you or did you choose the game?
It chose me. Well, I don't know. Well, back in the day, I'd always play fight and I was always sort of like an athlete. I'd do track and field. I'd always wrestle with my friends, just play fighting, whatever. And then one of my friends was like, "Bruv, you're a big dude. And what you're doing to me," he was a professional athlete at the time. He was doing mixed martial arts. And he was like, "What you're doing to me, you can do that and get paid for it." So after probably a couple of years of actually, you know, trying to get me to do it, I was like, all right. I went into it and it just sort of, everything just fell together. Nice. I was submitting the pros and everything, man. And then it sort of felt like, after the first session, I was like, man, wish I came here many years ago, you know, and that was it. So I sort of say it found me. I was always an athlete in that situation, in that way. But I felt like it definitely found me.
So Linton, what would you consider your first confirmation that, you know, you're supposed to have a professional career in Bellator, and you know the path you took?
To be honest, I didn't even think that far ahead. I was happy doing amateur fights. I had three amateur fights. Couldn't get any more fights, and then I went pro. And again, I was happy just fighting on them, on that promotion. It wasn't my passion at the time. Oh, I want to be a fighter. And I just felt like I was really good at it. And then it wasn't until I won my first British major title. And then I thought, you know what? I'm better than I'm giving myself credit for. And then I think after I won, you know, won that big title, I thought, you know what? I'm going to make this my career. And then I never looked back. And then now I went on an 11 fight win streak, and then Bellator signed me up. Yeah.
As they say, the rest was history.
Yeah, the rest was history, man.
So, Linton, you know, manifesting prayer goes a long way, especially with hard work to make a dream a reality. You know, what can you tell the listeners about your journey to manifestations?
Give it your all, man. Believe in the process. You know, like, you might have your ups and downs. And again, it may not even be for you, but at least give it a chance and give it your all. Don't just, you know, I'll train once every week or something and then wonder why, you know, you're not winning or you're not looking better. I've had people text me, ask them how to get in shape. I'll tell them. And then a few weeks, even a month later, they're like, oh, it's not working. Like, what else should I do? I'm like, it's a process. It's a process. I've been lifting weights since I was 12 years old, you know? And then doing track and field, obviously, since I was a young kid up till I was about 16. I didn't start MMA till I was 23, you know? So I added it all together. And now I feel like I'm at my best. But that's from starting from 12 years old, really. You know, I mean, people think it's a quick fix. It's not. It's not. Believe in the process. It will happen. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Yeah. It really is a marathon.
Oh, yeah. No, you're talking about those 10,000 hours, the passion to master your work ethic. You're talking about being an outlier. You're talking about really, really doing something. And I'm still seeing the fruits of your labor, the fruition of the dream.
I still got much, much more to learn, man. Seriously.
Man, no, that's a blessing. That's a blessing, especially at this element of your career. You're considered a veteran.
World title. It's coming. It's coming.
Oh, yeah. No, it's owed. It's owed. It's a difference between coming and being owed.
Exactly. You know that. You know that. It's owed. I like that. I like that. It's owed.
Oh, yeah. Come on. All I'm doing is talking facts, brother. You know, it's always someone that makes a dream a reality for you. And I want to know who invested into your dreams to make it a reality for you. And who do we owe that thank you to?
I'm going to have to say my first coach ever, that Danny Batten. He was the first guy I ever started with. And he showed me everything he had. And, you know, when it came time, he was like, you know what I mean? You have to go. You know, I've given you everything I can. I sort of outgrew that gym, if you know what I mean. Like, I didn't have the training partners. So it got to the point where I was actually fighting for a world title against Emmanuel Newton. It didn't go my way. It went to the fifth round, and I lost. And it was like, man, I've got this far training here. I need to go that next step. So then it didn't take me long. I looked online. And I thought America was the place to go because, you know, there's so much more experience out here, should I say. People from all over the world are over here, where in England, obviously, I'm training with the locals, if you know what I mean. So here, obviously, I get to train with the worldwide athletes from all over, getting beaten up, seriously. That's the journey, man. That's the journey you have to take.
See, personally, I got cauliflower ear. I'm from California. I wrestled. And I definitely had a couple buddies that made it to UFC. I got a friend right now. She's in the UFC and doing her thing. And, you know, it's definitely a journey. So my question to you is, you know, you seem like a natural brawler. Like, that was your natural given ability just to brawl. And then you start to add on these other skills along the way. You know, which are these new skills that are you looking forward to use once you get your next fight?
Oh, everything. Everything, seriously. Knees, elbows, takedowns, slams, everything. Everything. Like, as I said before, I'm still learning. Like, learning every day, new moves, new techniques. Not saying I'm going to do them all. But, you know, I mean, I've got some new tricks coming up when I got my next fight. I can't really say when it is yet, but it's coming soon. So contract will be here soon. And, yeah, I'll be back in that Bellator cage, man. But, yeah, I've got many, many more tricks. Many more to show.
you know, from the game, you know, from contract to contract, from fight to fight, you know, what have been the highs and lows that you've had to face in your career?
I would say definitely probably my first loss in mixed martial arts. I'd gone 3 in my amateur, and then I'd went 1-1 in my first 2 pro fights. And that ate me up. So I came back stronger from that. And then definitely the world title fight I had against Emmanuel Newton, like, because in my head, no one could beat me. And the way the fight went, I was all over him, man. I really was murking him up. And I ended up losing. So that really got to me, man. Like, I was thinking, damn, again, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. Let me go back to drawing board and see what I can change. Came back stronger again. So, and then definitely my last 2 fights, my last 3 in a row, you know, that was hard. That was hard. That was when I actually thought, you know, it's time to hang up the gloves and, you know, just go back to my normal 9-to-5 job back when I was 16 years old.
No, that's amazing that you know, you did not give that thought to give in whatsoever.
You can't. It's not gonna happen. It's obviously I fought those feelings. I'm human, you know. Everyone needs that person to sort of, you know, talk to, and, you know, it's up to you at the end of the day. They can only give you the advice, and it's what you do with it at the end of the day.
You know, what people don't realize, when you reflect and you're battling and you're a warrior like yourself in those environments, you have to have somewhat of a conflict in there to keep yourself going. You have to have it in there so that, you know, no matter what, when you are victorious like you were November 19th, you know, that feeling was so admirable because you gave it your all and you got the results you were looking for.
Everything. Give it all, man. And I feel like it showed. It showed, man. And it's made me think, I'm glad I didn't retire. You know what I mean? Back then.
Oh, yeah. Come on. No, it makes it more exciting for the next thing for you, because I can't imagine you doing something else right now other than training and keeping the same energy into the world.
And even if I did, I think what would happen, I retired for whatever, a couple of months, maybe even a year. And then I'd be like, right, I'm coming back. You know, and I felt like that probably been the worst thing to do, if I did take a break and then come back, you know, that could probably work against you. But I'm glad I didn't. And we are where we are now.
Yes, sir. Now, I got this segment. It's called Impulse Q&A. So I got 3 questions that I want you to answer. You don't like the question, so I'm good. I'll hit you with another question because I want you to answer 3 of them.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Question number 1. What is the funniest thing you see happen in the gym?
Funniest thing. Well, back in England, my friend is passed away now, bless his soul. But he used to come in. It was our coach. He used to come in the gym in a fur coat and just like just like boxer shorts. He was the coach as well.
Wow. Oh wow, he in there with a chinchilla and some tiny boxing shorts, telling you what to do.
Yeah, right. He was the man, yeah.
That's comedy. Question number 2.
Yeah.
What is one food that you love but you wish you hate?
Ooh. Probably ice cream. Probably ice cream. I love my ice cream, man.
Which flavor? Love.
You know what? I'm nice and easy. Vanilla, man. That's it. I know. And everyone's like, what? Vanilla? Yeah, I love vanilla ice cream, man.
Hey, I got a specific Haagen-Dazs vanilla. Yep. Out of this world. Out of this world. It's like, I think it's a Madagascar vanilla they put in there, but it's.
Yep. And there's a Halo one as well. Halo one, peanut butter. Peanut butter chocolate.
Okay, you just put me on something. Okay, I'm going to try that out.
Halo, bro. That's the good one. That's the best one. But that's a clean one. So that's why I didn't name that. I named the vanilla because it's pure sugar. Wrap my teeth up, man. Question. Ate the whole time, bro, man.
Oh, yeah, no, I shit.
All the time, yeah.
As soon as I couldn't compete anymore, like I had, you know, messed up my back or whatever in college, and so I stopped wrestling. And once that happened, I put on like 30 pounds, to be honest.
Yeah. You're not burning them calories no more like you was every day.
And then I also, yeah, you're right. I'd rather just chill and relax. Like, fuck, I did 10 miles 3 days ago, and then now they said I can't do nothing. I'm going to start this trend of relaxation. And it caught up to me. No freshman 10. It was freshman 30.
I feel you, man. I feel you. Because I feel like if I couldn't train no more, what would I do, man? Like, that's my love. That's my love. My love, man. I still love it.
Oh, don't stop, because once you stop, it hurts 10 times more once you start up. Question number 3. What is one thing that you recommend everyone tries at least once?
Definitely something that they love to do, like a passion. So I'm not going to name something personally for myself, but if someone wants to do so, has a passion for something, but always finds an excuse not to do it, do that. Wow. You know, like, you may not want to do it, but at least try it. I always like to say try something you love, you know? Because I'm glad I tried this. I'm glad I tried MMA. And now look at me, man. So I'm glad I tried it.
You know, you blew through my impulse Q&A. I got to give you a bonus question.
All right.
Yeah. What do you tell to all the people that got to face a bully?
Face them. You know what I mean? I feel like a bully is a bully because you're not fighting back. You know what I mean? If you're prodding something and they're not doing nothing, you want to do it more. But if you fight back, even if you slap them back hard as you can, they're going to be like, oh, fuck. You might get beaten up or whatever, but they probably won't do it again. Because bullies are probably the ones that are, you know, that are the weaklings, if you know what I mean. So they're picking on someone. I mean, that's the way I'd handle it.
Yeah, absolutely right, brother. Bullies prey on the weak. And then if you show that you got strength.
Because my nephew, this is when he was young. He's 22 now, but he was young at school. And he was getting bullied, and he told me, he was like, I'm getting bullied. I took him boxing for about a month, punched him up, then get bullied again. Simple. You know what I mean? Just a little bit of self-defense. And the bully bullied him because he wasn't doing nothing back. They said, oh, okay, just kept doing it. Took him boxing with me, you know. Came up with a 1-2, you know. That's all he needed.
Come on. That's it. So yes. I got a 6-year-old son, and when he was 4, he's still the tiniest kid in his class, but that's here nor there. He got heart of a lion. And so when he was 4, they decided to keep on picking on him, call him little and stuff. So eventually I told him that, you know, you just got to show him you got hands. 1-2, show him a 1-2. We practice it. Now I created a monster because he 1-2s everyone that says something to him. And so now I get phone calls from the school about your son just touching everybody because they said something about him. That was the next thing. Now we got to, okay, now there's a time when to use this. It's the special power. There is a special time to use this. When someone crosses you, don't bring it out. It's like taking it out of a secret pocket you didn't know you had. Keep it in there.
Yeah. So you taught him the way, man. Taught him the way. That's it. 1-2. But obviously now it's punching everyone up, but at least he's not getting bullied anymore. That was the thing you need to handle.
Oh, yeah, no, shoot. The kids figure out after a 1-2, they could throw everything else in there. They go from jab, they could throw a hook. I'm going to kick the kid. Son. 1-2. 1-2. When you get older, we'll go into some more things. I'll show you how to slam them with a blast double and dip them on the head. It's all good. Just wait. We'll get to when you get to turn the wheel when you double A. Don't worry.
Love that.
So, Linton, brother, you notice my show is different. It's unique. You know, I love to praise people's success stories, especially yours, and I appreciate you coming on the show. And my viewer knows, like, I'm about to hit you with something just you're not expecting. And I try to keep that energy because of the whole show. If you notice, that's what I try to do. Keep you going with what's unexpected. That's, you know, the show's not like anything else. And the person knows it's coming. I'm going to hit you with it. You got any questions for me?
No, I'm good. I'm good, man. I just want to say thank you for having me on the show, man. I appreciate that.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. I want to give a big shout out to the 86ers.
Yeah.
No, they are. Go ahead.
The big up 186. So big up the 86ers brand. They sponsor me, and I'm messed up their name and that.
Oh shit, we're gonna have to cut that and redo that over then.
Again, then, yeah. Let's edit that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. One love and big up the 86ers brand. Respect and thank you for the sponsor. Thank you for the love over all these years. Thank you. There we go.
Yeah, no, big ups to the 86ers. They have an incredible brand with an incredible passion behind it. I've had the opportunity of having Freddie of the 86ers on the show. And, yeah. You know, I learned that you are part of the 86ers. And I was like, oh, that is dope. Because he understands what it feels like. And I just want to make sure we share some love to the company and the brand because, you know, it's an incredible feeling to overcome and to achieve. And you've been able to overcome and achieve in every step. And yeah, Contrast Uncut is season 4, episode 29. I want to give a big shout out to Uncle Snoop's Army and Bobby D Presents. I appreciate you, brothers. I wouldn't be able to do incredibly dope shit like interview Linton Vassell, the Swarm, and, you know, let this swarm of gems hit you in the face because this brother has so much to tell you about his story and his journey on the way of, you know, recognizing your gifts and talents and discovering that you could do a lot more with it. And he is a product of that environment. And I appreciate you coming on the show, brother. Thank you again.
Anytime. Respect, man. Respect. Have a blessed day. Yeah?
Yes. All right. Take care, Lindsay.
Easy enough.
Yes. This really reminds me of some Tribe Called Quest. Hip hop really taught me to give it all I got left. Wu-Tang taught us how to beat the projects and tell my story over beats and it could be a project. Look how it all begun. Bum skibbity bum. Yeah, grew up on that Nas, on that L, on that pun. Also when I was young, crisscross make me jump.
I ain't supposed to be on phone. My nigga, this ain't what you want. Can I kick it when I'm rhyming? Be a legend through Ebonics.
Was a sticker boy. Man, I know you guys can't smell this right now, and I ain't talking about none of that other stuff. I'm talking about some of that good stuff, that smell good stuff. I think it's breakfast. What time is it? It's breakfast time. Make sure you tune in to Contrast Uncut no matter what you're doing. Whether you're eating breakfast, you're smelling good food like I'm smelling, or if you're smelling other stuff, we're good to watch too. Make sure you tune in. Thank you.